Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
It's 101 on Super Talk 99.7. WTN, Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. All right, so apparently we're trying to figure out exactly what we're supposed to do as far as all the commercials that we have to make up, but there is so much to talk about that it's fine. I'll take a little time here. Now, one of the things that I think the president really managed to accomplish in the last, 45 minutes or so as he was talking about his decision to sign the omnibus spending bill is the fact that he really lamented the process. He talked about the process. He talked about how he was absolutely disgusted with the fact that he had to sign this. And he also talked about the fact that nobody has read this damn thing. I mean, we are talking about 2,000 plus pages. What we know about this, though, is that there is nothing. I don't even have to read this to tell you that there is nothing in this bill that talks about trying to cut spending, that talks about trying to balance a budget. I guarantee you there's nothing in this bill regarding any kind of fiscal responsibility. And what I said to you yesterday and what I said to you at the beginning of the show today turned out to be absolutely true. And that is that President Trump and the Republicans and the Democrats, they decided to use military spending as a shield to make sure that they didn't have to deal with the situation in this country regarding illegal immigration. You know, part of this is all about accountability and responsibility. One of the things that the president said, I'm just going to go through kind of a tick list for people who are just joining us. I don't want to play any audio because for the love of Pete, we just heard 45 minutes of it. But one of the things the president is ecstatic about is $654.6 billion for discretionary spending for defense in the military. The word discretionary, can I just be honest with you? As much as I love the military, as much as I am a supporter of the military, as much as I am somebody who wants to defend America, the word discretionary scares the living crap out of me. Because as much as I'm a supporter of the military, here's the problem. We also know that in the past, there has been a lot of waste in military spending. Now, some of the things that I liked what the president had to say, well, we are going to upgrade and build nuclear submarines, going to build dozens of huge Navy ships, going to build a bunch of jets, tanks, missile defense. And I kind of liked what the president said when he enunciated and he made it perfectly clear, we are going to build more missile defense systems. We're going to upgrade missile defense systems. Going to have some offensive missile systems as well, but really it was all about defensive. Now, personally, I don't think the president has to be on the defensive about having some missile offensive systems, but whatever. That's the world that we live in today. It was interesting, too. He thanked Congress. On the one hand, he criticized Congress for doing what they did, which is ultimately come up with this 2,000-plus page omnibus spending bill, $1.3 trillion, without even reading it. And so he criticized Congress on the one hand, yet he also thanked them. But he called the process ridiculous, and I have to agree. He spent the first probably 5, 6, 7 minutes of the press conference of where he was talking, and his statement was mostly complaining about the process and how it is ridiculous and how there's nobody within either chamber of Congress, the Senate or the House of Representatives, that had read this thing. And frankly, he hasn't read it either. Yet he signed it all because he wanted to boost military spending. And again, please don't get me wrong. I get the fact that he wants a stronger military. I get the fact that he absolutely wants to see a stronger military because, well, let's be honest and speak frank. A strong military is the best pathway to peace, in my opinion. He blasted Democrats, saying that we have to give them something back to increase military spending. And that was where he threw them under the bus, essentially saying that, and he had that great direct message to the Dreamers, to the DACA recipients. And we all know, and we spoke with David Zanotti about this early on in the program, First of all, the fight over illegal immigration, the fight over border security and the wall is not over with. But he did have that message for the Dreamers, and that is that Republicans are on your side. Democrats are actually using you as political pawns. As a matter of fact, throughout the entire speech, the president threw Democrats under the bus over and over again as it relates to the Dreamers. And the reason why the Democrats didn't want to deal with DACA in this omnibus spending bill is manyfold. One is because they don't want, we all know, it's about illegal immigration. It's about 2018 and it's about 2020. One of the big issues that we've been talking about and voted on in 2016 was illegal immigration. And so as the president, and again, this is sort of a multi-level discussion. The president talked about how Democrats are not on your side. The president talked about how the Democrats are using the Dreamers as political pawns. Let's not forget, this was a president, and he mentioned it in his statement. He offered a pathway for a citizenship for 1.8 million Dreamers, twice what the Democrats wanted to do. And all the president wanted to do in return for that path to citizenship was to have some border security, hire more ICE agents, make sure that the people coming into this country had something to offer the United States of America. All very rational. And the Democrats turned it down. I also believe that the Democrats didn't want anything to do with DACA or the Dreamers in this omnibus spending bill because they knew that it would pass. And they knew that the Democrats knew that it would pass. And they did not want a Republican-led Congress and a Republican president to do anything that would help the Dreamers, that would do anything that would make the conservatives and the Republicans look like they were on the side of immigrants, illegal or otherwise. And that's why the president said what he said, which is that he and the Republicans and the conservatives are on the side of the Dreamers, and indeed, Democrats were holding them hostage as political pawns. The question is, will people really take a look at exactly what it is that the Republicans and the conservatives were trying to do with this omnibus spending bill? But what they're ultimately doing is they are hiding behind rebuilding the military to not get anything done on illegal immigration. And as a conservative and as somebody who appreciates the military, but as somebody who also really wants something to be done with illegal immigration and have the wall built, for that funding not to be in place, well, that is, for me, infuriating. $1.6 billion has basically been funding, been utilized and approved as funding for the wall. But basically what they're going to do is they're going to put up something like 32-33 miles of new border wall. And then they're going to have some sections fixed as well. The president says that the $1.6 billion, he's calling it a down payment. And again, the Dreamers and DACA, the border security, the wall, everything else as it relates to illegal immigration, those are going to be conversations and battles to be had another day. By the way, got this from Fox News. People's heads are exploding over this. Apparently, senators have managed to give themselves a raise with the new budget spending bill. Congressional leaders are ignoring dismal approval ratings and a legislative stalemate on pivotal issues facing the nation, deciding to give themselves a hefty $12.6 million raise in the new omnibus spending bill. While the $1.3 trillion spending package fails to fund the president's proposed border wall or find a permanent solution to DACA, the new legislation does include that over $12 million in higher wages for those on the Senate's payroll. Anybody else have a problem with that? I sure do. According to the official summary released by the Senate, the budget increase will be used to provide, quote, funding necessary for critical modernization and upgrades of the Senate financial management system and investments in IT security. The legislation also provides increased funding for various capital projects, including nearly $14 million for a botanical garden. You've got to be kidding me. Yeah, so there, you know, it's so funny. There are so many things, as I've just ticked a lot of these things down for you, as far as what the president announced a few minutes ago. There are so many things to be outraged over. I don't even know where to start. But I guess you could call it omnibus outrage, because there's a lot of things in this bill that are being just thrown into one big bucket, and they'll figure out what to spend it on later. But again, discretionary spending, $654.6 billion in discretionary spending for defense. What exactly is that going to go to? Is there going to be any accountability? It's a very big question. He talked about $6 billion for the fight against opioids. This is interesting. I thought this was fascinating, by the way, including creating addiction-free drugs. So that's definitely something that I'm going to look into, because that's something that takes a lot of research and a cooperation from the drug companies as well. It's 112 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 125 Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Well, there are indications that President Trump is ready to go one-on-one with Robert Mueller. And it's all about John Dowd. You know who John Dowd is? He is the member of Trump's legal team who was mostly opposed and strongly opposed to the president having a sit-down interview with Robert Mueller and his team. Clearly, the president is getting ready to go one-on-one with Robert Mueller, which is what he's wanted to do all along. But John Dowd was like, no. There's far too much at risk. This is the headline from NBC News. Trump legal team shakeup clears the path for a possible Mueller interview. All the president wants to do is clear his name. Now, I've heard so many different political opinions on this that I can see it from all sides. The president, under oath, goes in front of Robert Mueller, and Mueller can start performing all of those legal maneuverings and legal tricks and all the kind of things they can do to trip up a witness. That is exactly what Robert Mueller could do to President Trump, and that could ultimately lead to any number of things. So for the president to agree to an interview under oath, it could be very risky and, yes, very problematic. But I can also see other people that would say, and I've interviewed those people too, the president needs to clear his name. That's what the president wants to do. And so when John Dowd just a couple of days ago came out and said, yeah, you know, the Mueller investigation, it's got to end. Apparently, that was the last straw for President Trump and the relationship that he had with John Dowd. NBC News, quote, the move clears the path to begin preparations with John Dowd's removal from the Trump administration. The move now clears the path to begin preparations should an interview occur between Mueller and President Trump. And everybody says that the president wants to testify before Mueller. He has said over and over again that he wants to clear his name. Now, the guy who is replacing John Dowd is a guy by the name of Joe DiGenova, with whom Trump has announced this week was joining Trump's legal team. And he is expected to play a key role in discussions with Mueller's office about a presidential interview. So we all know that it was most certainly an active weekend with John Dowd saying what he said about there needed to be an end to the Mueller investigation. We also know that the president had his own attacks on the special counsel and Robert Mueller, according to a couple of people familiar with the matter. So what is next for the president as he prepares for this Mueller interview? See, what he really needs, what President Trump really needs, is somebody to really prepare him to be in the crosshairs of Robert Mueller. The president's comments on Twitter and statement by Dowd were broadly seen in legal circles as a potential breach of trust between the two sides. So what's next for the president and his legal team? Well, it's all about staffing. Dowd was unhappy with the addition of DiGenova and perceived his addition as eclipsing his role, Dowd's role, and legal advice. So Dowd basically said, screw it, I'm out of here. Dowd didn't want Trump to testify because of the fact that he was worried the president might unintentionally perjure himself. And I think one of the things that the president may have found is that he didn't like the fact that Dowd had zero confidence in the president's abilities to deal with Robert Mueller. Now, a little bit about this guy, DeGenova. He is a former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia who was accused the Mueller investigation of bias and preparations for a possible presidential interview underscore Trump's desire to take a more aggressive approach to investigators and suggest that he is now moving towards a sit-down with Robert Mueller. Now, this guy, DeGenova, he is expected to bring at least two new lawyers onto Trump's legal team once he is formally retained, one person familiar with the discussion say. So, the bottom line is this. The president is sick and tired of waiting for this whole discussion, this whole investigation to wrap up. And so he's going to take matters into his own hands. And whether or not that is a smart move by the president will remain to be seen. But certainly for me, anyway, I appreciate the fact that the president wants to put up his dukes. I appreciate the fact that the president wants to be far more aggressive against the Mueller investigation. We all know that there has been a conflict within the White House as to how much the president and his legal team should be cooperating with Robert Mueller in the first place. And that conversation will continue. It is 1:30 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandy Show. Yeah, I don't get it either, Bell. I just don't understand it. There's a lot of things I don't understand, and certainly women are one of them. Listen to this, because this is funny. Pamela, I heard you playing some Karen McDougal audio.
Yes, and I was hoping you were commenting, but you didn't.
No, but...
I can play it
well,
back
he
here
did, but it was off air.
It was off, because I said to Bell, I said, is anybody else noticing something very fascinating about this interview? And I'm not sure if anybody else is kind of picked up on it, but one of the things that is happening here is Karen McDougal, right, this former Playboy playmate,
yeah.
Right? So she is apparently aghast that the president, then not president, Donald Trump, was not only sleeping with her, but also sleeping with Stormy Daniels at the same time. So she is offended that the president was cheating on his wife with another woman.
So he's cheating on her. Wait a minute. So he's cheating on his wife and cheating on the mistress
with another porn star. Yes. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean,
that's why I said
I don't understand women.
The part for me was when she said, and I can play it back if you want, but she's a Playboy model, right? She's a playmate.
Yeah.
And she said, I was just appalled that he would, I've never been offered for money for anything like that before.
Yep.
And I'm going, That's how you make your living, honey.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly right. Although maybe it was the amount of money. I don't remember how much the amount of money was,
so it was way too much or way too little.
That's a good point.
Maybe such thing as too much.
Maybe she was offended at the fact, you know what, I get paid a lot more than this.
I mean, anyway.
So apparently they met during the filming of Celebrity Apprentice at the Playboy Mansion in 2006. And she does say that she developed feelings for Trump over the 10 months in which they dated. Their relationship began in June of 2006, just months after Trump's wife, Melania, gave birth to their only child, son, Barron. And so, yeah, that timeline works. So Donald Trump, way back in 2006, was sleeping with a porn star and a Playboy playmate, and, of course, his wife, Melania, as well at that time. Now, I don't think that anybody is real surprised at any of this. I mean, good Lord, we've talked about this to death.
Isn't a Playboy playmate a porn star also? That's porn. That's still pretty. I know you're shaking your head, Belle, but that's.
No, nudity is not porn.
Oh, for the love of God.
It is absolutely porn.
So the Statue of David is porn.
No, but in Playboy magazine, that's pornography.
So we've made an exclusive category for Playboy.
For Hustler, for Playboy.
Well, Hustler
is different than Playboy.
Yeah, those are completely different.
So Playboy is so much higher class.
It's certainly much more artistic and less graphic and less purient.
I don't disagree with you on that, but it's still pornography.
No.
I'm just going to let you guys talk about this.
When you have full frontal, when you can see it all, that and the way that it is displayed, And I've seen some of the Playgirl video, Playboy videos. Was that Freudian? I've seen some of the Playgirl. I did it again. Playboy Jeez. Videos.
I think we're finding out too much about Pamela.
No, we are. No, yeah, we are.
I mean, seriously. No, I mean, I'm a freaking adult. Come on. Yeah. That is.
Okay. So
classy. It's artistic, but it's still pornography. You would not allow a child to see it, would you? But you would allow a child to see a naked statue of David. Or the
Musica.
Are
the naked statues here on Music Row, do you consider that pornography?
No. That's what I just said.
Because they're not real people. They're artistic and all that kind of stuff. Interesting. I don't know.
So the question
at hand is, what? Is a Playboy Playmate, is that pornography?
Would she not be considered a porn star? I mean, that is porn. It's a classier form of it.
In my opinion. I dare say that your opinion on that would be the minority.
Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity.
Pamela went Wikipedia on you.
Intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings.
Bell?
That is the definition of
Bell,
pornography.
Bell, what say you? Because I think
don't,
she's got
I
you
I don't
this.
Think Playboy is pornography.
Well, that's okay.
I agree that Hustler would be and Penthouse would be and some of the more graphic magazines, but I don't believe that Playboy is.
You don't have to believe it. I am in the facts business.
I think it's nudity, but I think there's the difference between nudity and pornography.
I think part of what's at discussion here is the fact that I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked at a Hustler magazine since I was in probably junior high school, and I don't look at Playboy. But what I would say is that when people talk about pornography, I think people in their minds, they think about two people or multiple people engaged in various
sexual
acts.
Activity.
So I think that's what people typically refer to as pornography. Now, I haven't seen, again, Hustler magazine lately in like maybe the past, 35 years. But I assume that it's a lot dirtier and a lot raunchier than what we see in Playboy.
Well, it always has been. I mean, that was the whole Larry Flint wanted it to be that way. He wanted it for the common man, not for the Playboy businessman who made, you know,
$1 million a year.
He
thought Playboy was too artistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And too much for the you know, millionaires, Playboy people.
Right.
But here's my whole point to this is why I'm getting so sticky on it and with the definition.
Mm-hmm.
How hypocritical is it that she is so appalled that that Donald Trump was having an affair or cheating on her with a quote porn star.
Right.
Honey, you're a porn star. That's my
Well, and of course, so you and I both have different forms of aghastness at what she thinks about this whole situation. Because
right.
As I said, she's upset because the president, then
was
Donald Trump, was
her.
Cheating on her with another woman while they're both cheating on Melania. So it's. By the way, Belle, I don't know if my computer's up, but they also asked, Karen McDougal was asked, what would you say to Melania right about now?
What can you say except, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want it done to me.
Yeah, but you did it. And you know what's interesting, too, is during this interview, she also said something to the effect of she'd gone to Melania's bedroom. The president had this Playboy Playmate, Karen McDougal, into his home. Apparently, obviously, Melania wasn't home, and he's kind of showing her around. And the president showed her Melania's room. So she was so horrified at that, she wanted to leave immediately. Yet, she still continued to have the affair. So I do find it interesting that now, 12 years later, she is coming out. And she was even asked, well, why are you coming out now?
I need to share my story. Everyone else is talking about it. I've never talked. Since the day it happened, I have refused to speak publicly, privately even. My friends know, my family know, but nobody else knows. I wanted to keep it quiet. But now that it's out, I need to control it.
Yeah, and she... Go ahead. You got something at that?
Oh,
okay.
No,
very
no,
well,
laughing.
I think what it is she has now seen that there is money to be made in this particular industry.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think this is going to become a cottage industry for former porn stars and current porn stars and Playboy Playmates that have slept with President Trump. This is going to be like a cottage industry. Let's get Gloria Allred, let's get Linda Bloom, and let's see how much we can shake down the president for. Here's more of Karen McDougal.
I want my life rights back. I feel like the contract is illegal. I feel like I wasn't presented correctly. I was lied to, and everybody involved in this deal. I want the rights back, and I want to share my truth because everyone else is talking about my truth.
Yeah, so here's what she means by that. This is all part of a lawsuit, and according to the New York Times, there is now a loose lawsuit that she is bringing forth, and she's bringing it against this company called American Media Incorporated, which publishes the National Enquirer, and she's saying that this company worked, quote-unquote, secretly with President Trump's, then Donald Trump's, personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, to engineer some sort of an agreement. Under the deal, under the agreement, she got, Karen McDougal, got a $150,000 payment shared with her lawyers, and what she believed to be the promise of magazine cover stories and fitness columns. However, the agreement barred her from discussing any relationship with President Trump. So what she's saying now is that her suit argues the agreement is void due to both fraud and illegality and seeks to restore her ability to talk about the alleged affair. She says the agreement is contrary to the basic principles of law, fairness, and the public interest it maintains. So it sounds like what happened is the president, then Donald Trump, and his lawyer, they had come up with this agreement with her where it's like, okay, so you're not going to say anything, and we're going to have this sort of, sounds like almost like a marketing agreement with this woman to promote her brand. Now, what I don't know is, was there any kind of a promotion of her brand through this particular company?
Have you ever heard of her before now?
Well, no, but I'd never heard of Stormy Daniels either. I don't pay attention to the Playboy Playmates and the porn stars. It's just not my... Did Belle know who... I think, didn't Belle know
who Stormy...
Of course she. Of course he did.
Well, here, how about this?
Yes.
Guy's sitting at a sitting by a girl at a bar, right?
Okay.
He asks, would you sleep with me for $1 million? She lights up and says, sure. Then he asks, how about $20? She looks at him disgusted and said, no, I'm not a whore. And she said, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
We're just negotiating.
Right.
Tell me that's not what this is.
All right, let's see what Tracy has to say in Mount Juliet. Hey, Tracy, you're on WTN. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just hear you guys ragging on these porn chicks, and I agree, Pamela, that Playboy is porn, absolutely. And but they're not married. He is. All this should be ragging on Trump, not these chicks.
Well, and Tracy, I'm not sure how much you've listened over the past several days that we've been talking about this, but one of the things that I've been saying all along is if President Trump, then Donald Trump, if Donald Trump was cheating on his wife, then absolutely shame on him. It's something that is abhorrent to
him.
Yeah, well, hold on, Tracy. Let's also realize that these women knowingly had an affair with a married man. So, I mean, it does take two to tango. So are they not to be held accountable for their actions?
Not as much as a married person, not being put in that situation.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh. Tracy, you're in trouble because you got an oh,
no,
wow,
no,
from
no,
Pamela.
No, but it's got to be, it's 50-50.
If you're married,
well, okay.
If you're single, you're free to go about the country. If you're married, then I hold you twice as responsible because you've put yourself in that position.
See, okay, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Tracy is right, and here's why. Because these women...
Ooh, I wish you'd tell my husband that.
Yeah, well, you know, have him call. What I would say is this, and thanks, Tracy, for the call. I do believe that she's right, Pamela, because think about this. President Trump took a vow, an oath, to be, I'm assuming, loyal and so forth to his wife. Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, they did not take an oath. So while I do believe that McDougal and Stormy Daniels, they did what they did, and that is abhorrent and wrong in having an affair with a married man, it was President Trump, as Tracy just said.
Oh, it was Donald
President
Trump.
It's Donald Trump who took the oath to his wife. So
well, I don't
I
disagree
would agree.
With that, but they're 50-50 responsible. Had the woman not said yes, he wouldn't have done it. Now he would look for it elsewhere, and you know obviously he was looking for something, but it takes two to tango. Now is there greater consequences because you are married? Absolutely. From a moral standpoint and, you know, consequences if the wife finds out, feelings hurt, devastation of a family, all those things. But we knew all this when we elected him.
Right.
We knew he was, I'm just going to say the word, we knew he was a man whore. We knew it from day one that he ever came on the scene in the 80s.
Sure.
We knew all this.
Well, of course, as I've been saying.
None of this is surprising.
Yeah, as I've been saying, he was Donald flipping Trump. Yeah. We knew what this guy was all about. And by the way, so did Melania.
Yeah.
When she married him.
Yep.
And no offense to Melania. I don't want to victim shame here because
she absolutely is
somebody who knew that Donald Trump had a proclivity to cheat. He's Donald Trump. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying anything like that. But we knew who he was, and so did Melania, not saying it's okay, as I've said, and I pointed out to Tracy. Listen, I've been saying from the very beginning, shame on Donald Trump for doing what he did. But again, before we start putting Stormy Daniels, and the mainstream media is going to do this, and 60 Minutes is going to do that this weekend, before you allow the mainstream media to put her on some sort of a pedestal as some sort of a bastion of truth and honesty and integrity and victimhood status as well, let's not forget what it is that she did. 151 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
For the latest on the President Trump signing the omnibus bill, that's coming up at 2 o'clock on WTN.
158 Super Talk, 99.7 WTN, coming up next. Yes, indeed, we will recap the federal government's addiction to spending our money as President Trump does indeed sign the omnibus spending bill. Robots working for Walmart. Bad news for the fight for $15 an hour crowd. And you're not going to believe what George Clooney has to say. It's all next on WTN.